Could you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? I love the way it starts in verse 1. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. So in other words, don't stay clueless. Don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. And it goes on to explain that the Holy Spirit gives different services, different ministries, different works. But one of the things that the Holy Spirit does want to give you and the whole body of Christ, every member of the body, is gifts. And it goes on to number those 9 gifts, one of which I want to speak about today. And it's something that I've been praying for. I've always prayed for spiritual gifts, because it goes on to say in chapter 14 about eagerly desiring spiritual gifts, that it's something that we should really want. We should want the Holy Spirit, who lives in every believer, to give us these supernatural, powerful gifts that help people. And Scripture goes on to say that actually the gifts of the Spirit are for the profit of everyone, are actually to do people good. So the motive is love. So when the Holy Spirit gives a gift to you to help somebody else, a spiritual insight or a spiritual gift of power or faith or wisdom, whatever it is, it's actually to profit someone, to do them good. And particularly this morning, is something that I believe God doesn't just want us to know about, this particular gift, but he wants us to operate in personally. And that is found, I'm going to speak from verse 10, to another, miraculous powers, not that one today, although we'll see a bit of that later, to another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing between spirits. The Word of God says it's a gift of the Spirit to distinguish between spirits, small s there. And this is about really how the Holy Spirit wants to work in and through each one of us to actually show us what the enemy's doing, but not just what the enemy's doing, but also what is hidden in people. Because spirits aren't just referred to as evil spirits. There aren't just evil spirits. There are human spirits. You have a human spirit, where the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit or your heart, the inner person. And so God would call you a spirit. We don't often think of ourselves like that, because we are in a body. We haven't left yet, because if you do, you've gone to glory if you believe in Jesus. But it's your house. Your body is the house of your spirit. And the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. And therefore you are the temple or the house of God personally. And together, this morning, we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And distinguishing of spirits is an important, very, very important gift, so that you and I aren't fleeced. Or that we're not seeing other people fleeced or robbed from what God wants to do. And we need this gift to discern and recognize various spirits. Now, there are times in Jesus' ministry when he would look at people and say things about them that were, well, you couldn't know unless the Holy Spirit had shown him. So, for example, when he looked at Nathanael, he said, "You're a true Israelite in whom there's no deceit." Now, he'd never met him before, but the Holy Spirit had given him the discernment or the distinguishing between spirits. So he knew what was unseen, but in the heart of Nathanael, that Nathanael wouldn't be a cheat or cover up. You'd get what you saw with Nathanael. How many of you know a few people? Actually, some people say I'm like this. What you see is what you get. I will tell you the truth. I ain't going to cover it up and say one thing and mean another. And so Jesus, when he looked at Nathanael, he saw, there's a man in whom there's no deceit. Love that. So Jesus this morning sees what's in each one of our hearts, because he doesn't look at the outward appearance, although you do look lovely this morning. He looks at the heart. That's how God sees. We also need to discern what the Holy Spirit's doing. I don't want to be spiritually dense, where God is moving, I'm not kind of picking it up. Or God's leading me somewhere, but I'm just not understanding what he's doing. And so you and I need the Holy Spirit who lives in us to give us these gifts, particularly discerning or distinguishing between spirits, so that we know what God's doing, so that we know what's in people, for good as well as for warnings. Jesus actually knew what was in the Pharisees, didn't he? You didn't have to tell him that they were against us. He would know what was going on and the questions that were rising in their minds. But we also need to know what the enemy is doing. And this morning I want to speak about how to discern through the Holy Spirit, to operate in that gift, to discern what the enemy is trying to do. And Jesus was very clear about Satan or demons or the evil one, or however you say it, the devil. He would say the devil comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. So the devil actually comes to take from people and destroy people. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life, and life in all its fullness. And so you can discern, even through knowing that truth from John 10:10, that if you're being robbed or if you've been destroyed in some way in your life, that it's the enemy. It's not God. Because everything God does is motivated by love, because he seeks your highest good. And he wants to do you good. And so we need both the truth of God's word and the gift of the Holy Spirit to discern evil spirits. Interesting topic this morning. I trust you're going to stay awake and listen to this, because I believe this morning there's going to be a great victory for those who want it here this morning. And not only for you, but you will know how to depend on the Holy Spirit so you can help others and do them good by operating in this gift. Now, the purpose of discernment, the discerning of spirits, which is distinguishing between spirits, the purpose is to lift the veil that covers the unseen. Okay, lift the veil. Now, if you could actually see right now, you would see very differently if you were looking in the spirit. Your spirit can actually see God if you're born again. Amen. You can see God. You've been created to know God, to worship him in spirit and in truth. But you'd also see that there'd be angels here. Okay, now God doesn't allow us to see everything, because actually we'd probably go too angel focused or too demon focused. And God wants us to be Jesus focused. Okay, so this is really looking unto Jesus. This is how we're to live our lives, is looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. But we aren't supposed to think that the devil doesn't exist, or might not be tempted to bother each one of us. Because I know he's had a go at me. And if you're a Christian, I know he's had a go at you. Okay, so I know that the spirit realm is real. But God wants to, through his spirit, lift the veil that covers the unseen so that we could see as God sees. The Christian ministry, everything that we're to do and everything that we're to operate out of, is to be in the spirit. We are to minister out of the spirit realm. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of darkness and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we do have a battle, or we do have a war as a Christian, but it's not against people. And if you fight people, you're fighting the wrong person, because our battle, Scripture says, puts it clearly, in the unseen realm, against spiritual forces of wickedness and demons that actually want to destroy and rob people's lives. It makes it a very interesting fight, because you've got to depend on the Holy Spirit, not on your brain. Because the gift of discernment doesn't mean you're like Sherlock Holmes. Now, I like watching some of Benedict's Sherlock. And, you know, he can see, he can calculate things just by reasoning. He's got an incredible brain, and he looks at somebody's shoelaces and knows that they've come from the desert somewhere, probably in the Sahara. I don't know. He just deduces everything with his brain. And let me tell you, you can't see in the spirit with your brain. You can only see by the revelation of the Holy Spirit to your spirit, who then brings understanding to your mind. And so we're not talking about being like Sherlock Holmes with a magnifying glass, analyzing everything naturally. Just because you might be good humanly speaking doesn't mean that you can see as God sees. Yeah? So you might walk around boasting that you're a good judge of character, but you might not be at all a good judge of character. Because some people wouldn't have picked you to follow Jesus, but he picked you. In fact, I wouldn't have picked myself. But God chose me. He must have known that I would say yes and follow him. Okay, so God discerns and sees things, and he wants us through his spirit to see. And what's important is, as we have this wrestling against the enemy, it's important that we wrestle not from defeat, not from any kind of I'm inferior to Satan, but we fight from victory, not for victory. Tell somebody next to you, we fight from victory in Christ, not for victory. Why? Because Satan has been defeated. On the cross, Jesus triumphed over all the powers of the enemy. But Satan isn't dead. He hasn't ceased to exist. And he still wants to rob, kill, and destroy, which is why you need to be like that soldier, putting on Christ's armor, and standing against the enemy. Some of the issues that we face as Christians, all the crying out to God and all the prayer ministry from others, won't deal with it because it's an evil spirit. And if we don't discern that the source of the problem is the enemy, then we will always seek the wrong treatment. Yeah? And so we need to unveil or uncover how the enemy operates. We need the dependency on the Holy Spirit. We need to know that we are in victory in Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That actually, if you think about a cat and mouse, sometimes I think Christians think they're the mouse being chased by the cat. It's the other way around. He's the mouse. And we're out to get him, or chase him out of the house. You understand? But Jesus won the complete victory. And I just want us to look at this scripture, 1 John 1, chapter 4, verse 4. Greater, this is what the scripture says, greater is he that is in me. There's a person, if you're a Christian, there's a person who lives in you. Christ in you. The victorious one in you now. Greater. Oh, how much greater is he? I mean, Scripture says one day we'll look at the enemy at the end of all the world and all the ages, and we'll be allowed to see Satan. We'll say, you mean that troubled the nations? You're joking. Is that it? We'll be amazed at how little he is in comparison to how the greater one is. We're going to be astounded at the difference between God, us, and this little accuser, destroyer, who hates what God loves and wants to destroy it. Greater is he that is in me, Christ in me, the Son of God in me through the Holy Spirit, than he, speaking of a personality, not an it, than he who is in the world. Now I love that, because he, the little one, isn't in me. If I'm a Christian, hello? The greater one's in me, and he is in the world. Satan. Oh, happy day. Aren't you glad? Otherwise, if you don't have Jesus in you, your father, Scripture says very clearly, is the devil. And so I would recommend you change fathers. Accept Jesus Christ. God become your father. You become his child. And he comes to live in you. Now, I'm not sure that many Christians really believe this, that the greater one now lives. Like in this meeting this morning, in this place, the greater one lives in me. Say, the greater one is in me. And I believe that. You see, we need a God-sized attitude to the devil. As Christians, we need a God-sized attitude to the enemy. He's not got us on the run. It's time for us to get him on the run. Amen. We're not his plaything. In fact, he's not. It's not a game, because he's out serious business. But we're here to defeat him, to destroy him, to stop what he wants to do. Even though he's defeated, he is still at work in the world. And he still wants to influence you and me. Now, Luke chapter 13, we're going to look at an example in Jesus' life and ministry where we will see the veil lifted at the reality of a situation or a problem in someone's life that actually he pointed out to be the enemy, to be Satan, to be an evil spirit. And chapter 13, it's one of my... I love this story because it's just got such the heart of God for people. And let's just read it, verse 10. Luke chapter 13, verse 10. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who'd been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days." Talk about party pooper. Somebody gets healed from 18 years of suffering, and they have a problem with it, and they're still around today. Trust not in this room. We don't have a problem with people being healed. We love people being healed because we love people, and Jesus is glorified. So the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites." Wasn't very pleasant. I sometimes wonder if we know the real Jesus. I mean, imagine being in a public meeting and by the Spirit the preacher says, "You hypocrites!" Okay, wow. We really would have a Spirit-filled meeting then, wouldn't we? You hypocrites. Discerning the spirits, you see. Discerning them. Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan has kept bound, right? Jesus is identifying by the Spirit, discerning Satan is the problem. Has bound her these 18, and he puts long in. The heart of God, isn't it? He doesn't want people to be sick anymore. He doesn't want it to go on a long time. He's here to change it. These long 18 years. Be set free on the Sabbath day from what has bound her. Okay, the veil here for me, if you can see into this day where Jesus healed this woman, you let the Spirit and the Word reveal. What do we see? We see that Jesus sees pain and suffering and doesn't like it. And this morning, Jesus sees pain and suffering and he doesn't like it. If there is anyone here in pain or suffering, Jesus is seeing. You might be in the crowd, but Jesus has already got his eye on you. Isn't that amazing? The second thing he sees is he sees what she's like. And he calls her a daughter of Abraham. He doesn't criticize her. He sees that she, if you know anything about the Bible or about the ways of God, you will know that anybody who's called like Abraham is kind of got this honor up here from God. Because Abraham is the father of our faith, Scripture says. So Abraham is one of the most honored people. We're going to see him one day. I can't wait to meet him. I really can't. Talk about sticking out and believing. And Abraham is actually someone who pleased God, because faith always does. And so God sees, Jesus is seeing this woman in pain, but he's also seeing she's a daughter of Abraham. In other words, she's a woman of faith, not of unbelief. She's not there being angry with God about her circumstances. She's not mad and a bit off God because of what she's gone through. She's not lost heart. Against all hope, in hope she believes. So she's actually sitting in the synagogue, in a religious setting. Jesus is teaching and he sees her and he says, "There's a woman of faith in this meeting." Because Jesus sees faith now. Not tomorrow, not theory. He says, "Are there any believers here? I'm looking for a believer. Someone who, against all hope, actually trusts me. That I'm going to fulfill what I've said. The promise to do you good." Amazing. But he also sees that the problem is an evil spirit, is Satan. He says clearly, the Word of God says, Satan has bound. And he uses this illustration about animals. How? On a Sunday, because on the Sabbath, the Jewish people wouldn't be able to do any work. So they tie up their donkey or their whatever, a horse or whatever, so that it would have a day's rest. But because they still cared about their animals, cattle and whatever, they would take it out to water. They would give it water, and Jesus is saying, you give water to your animals, you won't actually allow healing. Thinking, gosh, this isn't love, is it? As soon as your heart shrinks, you start to get judgmental, and you don't want people blessed. That's a heart that needs Jesus big time. and change. And so Jesus actually, he sees that Satan has bound this woman, and he uses this analogy about untying your donkey. And he says this woman was bound, tied up by a spirit of affliction. So an evil spirit was causing her sickness. Get it? Have I lifted the veil for you from the word? Well, I hope the Holy Spirit has. What was causing the problem? Church, you're being taught this morning. You know what? You need to respond. What was causing the problem? An evil spirit. And what had that spirit done? Tied her up. And what does Jesus have authority to do? Untie. And what did he do? He untied her first. And then put his hands on her to heal her. So, first of all, the evil spirit had to be loosed from her so that she could receive her healing. Amen. You see this? Oh, I love to be in the school of the Spirit this morning. You're in the school of the Spirit this morning, yes? You're seeing in the Spirit, aren't you? This is how to see Christian ministry. Now, not every healing and sickness is a direct result of an evil spirit. Some people are healed just through prayer, through believing and receiving in the name of Jesus. But some sicknesses will never leave until the enemy is loosed off a person. Okay? Just thank God now that you have the Holy Spirit and that he wants to give you discernment so you can see what the enemy is doing and loose people to healing. Amen. I remember ministering to somebody quite a few years ago where she'd been ill for a long time. She was a godly woman, a woman of faith, very similar to this story. And we hadn't seen her around for ages. She just used to stay at home sick. The doctors had tried to do everything. They didn't know what the problem was. And one day, bing, because that's how the Holy Spirit works, light came. I suddenly saw what the problem was. God showed me what the problem was. Well, I gave her a phone call and I said, can I come round for a coffee? And she didn't really want to receive visitors, but I was quite persuasive. Because I won't be put off when God's given me something. And so I went round, popped round, with the excuse of having a coffee. And whilst I was having a coffee, I slipped in. Do you know, I was praying for you, and God showed me that it's an evil spirit. And she suddenly saw it. Now, the evil spirit hadn't got into her, but it had influenced her, bringing sickness. You understand? You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells in you. Therefore, you can't have a demon in you. But you can have a demon affecting your mind, affecting your body, affecting your bones. Obviously, because this woman was crippled and couldn't stand upright. That was a bone issue. Yeah? And so, I took authority in the name of Jesus, laid hands on her, healed. Like that, healed. And it's exciting when you cooperate with the Holy Spirit and don't depend on your reasoning or the form of prayer you're used to. Well, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Lord, you need to step back and say, Lord, what are you saying in this situation? What's the problem? Sometimes the Lord will say, he has said to me, you need to diet. Great. Because he knows everything. He's the master at life. He wants you to live in fullness of life. Just ask him for wisdom. Ask him, what's going on now? Why is this happening? Now, the purpose of unclean spirits. The New Testament speaks about unclean spirits, but it's the same for evil spirits. It's the same word. And unclean really describes them. So does evil. They're wicked, and they are unclean, unholy. And the plan of the enemy, the purpose of the enemy, is first of all to stop you believing in Jesus. Stop you becoming a Christian. I mean, all of hell tried to stop you praying that day when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. There was a battle for your soul. But I praise God, the devil didn't win. Amen. If you've accepted Jesus, you've come out of darkness, out of the hold of Satan, and you've been brought into the kingdom of light. But if he can't stop you becoming a Christian, the next thing he will do is try and stop you serving Jesus effectively. So the devil has a plan to stop you serving God. Now, if you want to serve God, you need to wake up and be interested. Wake up to the spirit realm this morning. Because the enemy will use all kinds of tactics. He'll use diversions. I tell you, one of the biggest things he's using at the moment in the body of Christ is to take people off track. So they're following money. They're following work. They're following family. They're not following Jesus. And so the devil uses all kinds of diversions to get people away from serving God effectively. Gets you too busy to serve. Has anybody ever felt you're too busy to actually serve God? It's a plan of the devil. And even when you're retired, it's amazing how busy you can be and not have time to serve God. Hello, anybody? So the devil's plan is to stop you. Now, what does he use? He uses lies and accusations. That's the first thing, really, I want to highlight. There are evil spirits. Jesus said that Satan is the father of all lies. You need to be aware. Because I love you, I'm going to tell you. White lies are like black lies. They're all lies. Okay. Don't make a white lie. They're all lies. And if you lie, you partner with the devil. You come into agreement with Satan. Because he's the father of all lies. The Holy Spirit operates in truth. He is the spirit of truth. And he guides us into all truth. Yes? So don't lie. Because you'll kind of set yourself up to fail because you're partnering in some way with the enemy. Don't say you can't when you can. That's a lie. Yeah, just keep in the light. Walk in the light as he is in the light. And you will see the power of the Holy Spirit work. But the devil works bringing lies and accusations against you, who you are in Christ. He will always try and diminish you. What God has made you and who you are in Christ Jesus is a masterpiece. You are God's workmanship. You are loved. You are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come, and the devil will try and get you to believe the old is still reigning. The old you is still being influential. But you just need to say, you're a liar, I'm a new creation. I died, and now my life is hidden in Christ and God. He accuses you of the things that you've done wrong, that you've said sorry for, but will bring them back again and again. Has anybody ever heard the accusing voice of the enemy? Where you've confessed your sin, God has forgiven you, but the enemy keeps saying, because he's the accuser of the brethren. You see? Look what you did. He reminds you all the time of the bad things that you did. You just need to tell him, I just need to tell you the truth. I'm forgiven because God's forgiven me and my sin has been removed far from me. It doesn't even exist anymore. It's just as if I'd never sinned. Because of the blood of Jesus. Just thank God for his blood. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Why? Because the blood cleanses us from all our sin if we confess our sin. The other thing that happens is he tries to tempt us to sin. He is called the tempter. Now, I just want to use this example of a mousetrap. You know, the good old-fashioned mousetrap, where you put a bit of cheese. We're in the West Country. If we were in London, they'd hate this. But because we're in the West Country, you don't mind. Put a bit of cheese on the trap. And why do you put the cheese on? So the mouse will want the cheese. Yes? Satan works by putting cheese to trap you. And he wants you to have a nibble, to have a little taster. He wants you. He makes sin attractive. It smells so good. It looks so good. He appeals to your senses. He says, don't you feel like doing this? And your flesh will say, I feel like doing this. And I don't see why I shouldn't. No, neither do I. And you go for the cheese. You've given the enemy a foothold. Because sin never leads to victory. And the devil knows it. So he's the tempter. All I can say is, if in that moment you are tempted, you start to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. It's very difficult to sin and pray. Isn't it? I know, I've been tempted, and it's not a sin to be tempted. Because the devil wants to tempt you. But you have freedom over sin because sin has no dominion over you. As a new creation, you actually don't have to sin anymore. Tell somebody next to you, you don't have to sin anymore. Wow! So if you pray during any moment of temptation, the Holy Spirit will help you, but also I would recommend you move away from the cheese. If it's your step away from the cheese, step away from the cheese. So that you actually put yourself in a holy location. Mentally, emotionally, relationally, whatever. Whatever the trap is, and the devil knows what your cheese is. Gouda, cheddar, Swiss cheese. No, let's go for the good old cheddar. I love cheddar. But the enemy knows how to entice you. Thirdly, I just want to look at this torment because we're going to pray in a minute. And I just want you to understand how evil spirits of torment operate and influence Christians. Because these are all things that influence believers. Okay? Torment. Now, the first thing about torment we read about is in Jesus' teaching on forgiveness in Matthew 18. And what's interesting about that teaching is you can try and rebuke the devil all day long, but it won't work. Why won't it work? Because in Matthew 18, Jesus says, if I've forgiven you, and you don't forgive a believer who has sinned against you, then I, your heavenly Father, am going to give permission to the tormentors. That's New Testament, Matthew 18. So if we do not forgive our brothers and sisters from our hearts, hello, anybody here who hasn't got any has got unforgiveness in your life, Jesus said, he'll hand you over to the tormentors. Now, I don't know whether you think that's a bad picture, but I actually think if God actually says, carry on, devil, have a go at them. Now, we know God's good, but we also know that God allows the enemy at this moment to bring torment because of unforgiveness. So the biggest issue with the enemy is to not walk in sin, but also to walk in forgiveness with everyone. And when you walk in forgiveness with everyone, you then have authority over all the power of the enemy. Yeah? And some people say, well, it's so hard to forgive. Well, it was quite hard for God to forgive us because Jesus paid with his death. He loved us so much, he wanted to do it. But sometimes you've just got to say, Lord, help me. I choose to forgive them. Especially when they keep sinning. That's the hardest, isn't it? Where somebody just continues to sin against you. We have to continue to forgive. So that we don't allow the enemy any foothold in our lives. With torment comes actually the spirit of fear. Now, the spirit of fear is a demon. And we've all experienced it. We felt paralyzed, afraid, anxious. And sometimes panic attacks are linked to the spirit. There are demons that try and get you in unrest and dis-ease. They pursue you. And you, it's time you turn back the game. Turn back the tide and start pursuing that spirit of fear because you've got authority over it. Some people are kind of overtaken by fear because they've been involved in the occult. They've gone to a fortune teller. Now, demons operate behind fortune tellers. Or horoscope. If you're reading a horoscope, you're actually sinning against God. And you're allowing the enemy to communicate in your life. And God hates that fortune telling because its roots are in the enemy. But, you know, there are also false prophets, Scripture says. I'm really going into it today, aren't I? It's a good meeting, this. This is just it's good training. False prophets, what do? Say they're from God, but they're not. And they bring a word. And I've had words that are actually very negative spoken from a false prophet before over my life. Why? Because Satan has a destiny that he wants you to believe and accept it as from God. Used to be a great man of God called Derek Prince, and he had a prophet come up to him and say, oh, I can see, I can have a vision. I've got a vision now. God's just showing me something. God, attaching the word God to it. That's why we need discerning of spirits. I see you in a car crash, your car's wrapped around a lamppost, you're dead. You're going to die early. And he stood there and went, oh dear. And he started to accept it. Then he went, hang on a minute, that's not God. God's got a plan to prosper me. Not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. And he said, I come against you, evil spirit. I refuse Satan's destiny, which is negative for my life. I will not die young. I accept God's word for my life. Yeah? Satan wants to get you understand? But you are being protected today by hearing about how to stand against him. Exposing, we're unveiling the unseen realm, really. Depression. Thoughts of kind of like a shadow, a cloud coming on you. Some Christians really go through and suffer depression when they don't have to. Because Isaiah 61 says that God, for a spirit of heaviness, and that a spirit, Isaiah 61 identifies depression sometimes as a spirit, an evil spirit. Well, what do we do with evil spirits? In the name of Jesus, leave. Don't we? But if you're fighting it some other way, you won't win it. So if it's a spirit, God hasn't given us a spirit of heaviness, but a garment of praise. Open your mouth and start to praise him and you won't feel depressed anymore. That spirit won't be able to continue to remain on you. I know I'm speaking to some people this morning about that, but just God hasn't given you a spirit of heaviness or a spirit of fear. You have a spirit of power. And finally, affliction. We saw that evil spirits, as in the ministry of Jesus, actually afflict people's bodies with sickness. So how do we deal with the enemy? Well, there's freedom today from all of those spirits. And in this meeting this morning, if you want to, you can be free. You've got enough understanding with seeing through the Word and the Spirit, through the preaching this morning, the unseen realm, to deal with the enemy. But first of all, we've got to get real, haven't we? We've got to confess our sin. Whatever we've been involved in that we know hasn't pleased God, we must confess it. Say to God, I'm sorry. Cleanse me, Lord. Thank you that you promised to. Secondly, we've got to forgive whoever. And if there's one person you're finding it hard to forgive, stop it. For your own sake. Don't let it go another day because it brings the enemy into your life. Forgive whoever has hurt you. And then the scripture says, submit to God. Resist the devil. And he's going to go on the run. He's going to disappear. He's going to go, leave you. So let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. How are you doing? Good. We're going to have a time of ministry now. And if you're standing there saying, Lord, thank you that I don't think that any of these issues apply to me, just say, Lord, thank you that I've been able to see in the Spirit this morning and make sure that I understand there is a battle for my destiny and that the enemy will always try and oppose me. But I believe there are many people in this room this morning who have, as Jesus sees, who've had pain and suffering and fear and depression and torment because of what the enemy has done. And some of them might be long-standing issues, like this woman for 18 long years. And it's with a heart of compassion this morning that God sees and he says, I don't want it to go on. Amen. I see the things that you've struggled with, that you've tried to overcome another way. But I'm showing you the way this morning. Thank you, Lord.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.